Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. This Journey of Hope show we do is a special broadcast that's designed to address the issues that men and women face after they've been incarcerated. And boy, do we have a good show for you today. Returning to the podcast is Miss Eileen Dillon. Now, she was here last week talking about self-esteem issues. And this week, she's going to teach us how to get a lid on our anger. This is a powerful program. You want to be sure and stay tuned for it. And it's coming up right after this. Hey there, we've got some great shows coming up to finish out the month of December. Coming up next week, we have Miss Sally Marks, and she's going to be talking about how to erase negativity from our life. And then the following week, we have Mr. Tom Von Deck, who's going to be talking about stress management techniques. All this is coming up in the next couple of weeks right here on the Journey of Hope.
And then they went and they voted you least likely to succeed. Tell them, baby, you were armed with all you need. Seems no one's talking about those crazy days gone. The boom time, it is over. A ghost town is all that's left here. The gold rush, it is over. And depression days draw near. Tonight after sundown, I'm gonna pack my case. I'll leave without a sound.
And welcome back to the Journey of Hope. I'm Rodney Mathers. We're glad you could be with us today. I have on the phone with me once again, Miss Eileen Dillon. She holds a master's degree from Berkeley. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist, a licensed clinical social worker, and she has a book out called Happiness is a Decision of the Heart, and an upcoming book, Born to Learn, Foundations for Life on Earth. And we're going to talk to Eileen today about the issue of anger. Eileen, how are you?
I am super, thank you.
Welcome back. You had so much information last time, we had to have you back on for another episode.
Well, I thank you for giving me the opportunity. I'm so excited. My life, now I didn't get incarcerated, but you know, I had a really tough beginning in my life. And over the years, I have been so fortunate to learn how to get out of the hole that I was in. And that's what I'm excited about sharing with people, because most people think that it's difficult to get out of the hole, and there is work, and there may be a little pain involved, but in reality, it's pretty straightforward and pretty simple, and that's what I'm excited to share with everybody.
Well, we're glad to have you, and we're going to be talking about anger, and the reason I ask you to talk about this is because it is a serious issue. Frankly, I have yet to meet an ex-offender, including myself, that doesn't have some sort of anger issue in their past or currently. Obviously, anger and the inability to control it has a big impact on our ability to reintegrate into society. And my first question for you is, Eileen, where does the anger come from? Where does that start?
That's one of my favorite questions. Let me give you a little backdrop on anger. First of all, I am a recovering angry person, so I'm sharing this information not only from a therapeutic point of view, but most of what I've learned about anger was to help myself to stop having anger run my life, and I think that's the real issue. Now I consider myself an emotional master. I call myself the emotional pro. And I stay balanced. I don't get angry very often, although we need to be really clear that it's not possible to get rid of anger or any of our emotions because they're part of us. The key is to learn to work with it so that you have it serve the purpose that it's intended to serve. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about where anger comes from.
Okay.
I have what I call the universal cause of anger. It doesn't matter where you live, who you are, what your experience has been, what color you are, what your sexual orientation is, the same thing will make you angry. In principle, the same thing will make you angry. Each one of us has ideas in our heads of how things are supposed to work. Most of those work in the world. And most of those ideas we've had since at least the age of 7. You spend the first 7 years of our lives really finding out about this earth. And they're in terms of shoulds. You should stand in line. You should be nice to me. You should not manipulate me, etc., etc. It's always in terms of shoulds and should nots. And I urge you, Rodney, and all of you who are listening, to make a list of the things that you get angry about and then put it in should terms. You should not do this. You should do that. Mm-hmm. Because we get angry universally whenever something we think should happen does not happen, or what we think should not happen happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a very interesting thing. Let me give you an idea. Suppose I'm driving down the freeway and another driver cuts me off, and I have, you should not cut me off, in my head. I will get angry, right? Now, what is the real fact? Is it really true that no driver on the freeway should ever cut me off? That's just unreal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So part of the issue when we get angry is we're not facing the fact. What is really true here? If I then say to myself, well, in fact, 25 to 30% of all drivers will cut me off, then the next time a driver cuts me off, I'm free to say, ah, you're a part of the 25 to 30%. And if I do that, I won't be getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where that leads us is that the purpose of anger is to show us where we have inaccurate ideas about how things are supposed to be so that we can change our ideas and put them into a form that is closer to reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about... Is it okay, though, to be angry in terms of, like, say, angry enough to be determined and to have the tenacity to accomplish your goals? What about that?
That's a great question, Rodney. And again, let me just give a little wider picture on this. Emotions, in my learning, are given to us human beings as tools. They signal us what action to take. For example, love signals us to come closer. Loneliness signals that we have more energy going out than coming in, and we need to start bringing more energy in. Every emotion has a signal. And on the first page of my website, there's a free listing of, I think, 7 common emotions and what their signal are. You can download it if you have a internet connection. And so each emotion is designed to signal us something, some action. Now, the anger is the most active emotion that we have, which is why it's so important, because you can't ignore anger. If you hold it inside, it's going to destroy your self-esteem. It's going to color how you see the world. It's going to knock you down in terms of success. It's going to lead you to physical illness, and it can do mental damage as well. It's a very powerful emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to keep it moving, because all emotion is energy. So with, what were you asking? I lost track. I get so excited about
it. Is it okay to turn our anger towards, helping us?
The other signal of anger is to push us to action. That's mm-hmm. where we go, now I've had it, now I'm going to. And so, yes, you can use anger to push you to action. However, what I've discovered in my life is that there are things that are even better than anger to motivate me, such as my desire to stand up for myself, or my desire to take responsibility for me having a good life. And ultimately, I want to use my anger to start taking action so that I then can learn ways to empower myself so that I take anger, take action before any necessity to get angry.
Mm-hmm. And I want to kind of switch gears here just a little bit. What's an argument?
And
Eileen, the reason I'm asking is you write about it, and I think that's where a lot of us get into trouble. So tell us about what an argument is.
Well, we get into arguments because we are dedicated to seeing the world the way we see it, and we think other people should see it the way we see it, too. And basically, an argument is two people insisting that their way of seeing the world is the correct way.
Okay.
And it usually, it can serve some purposes. Argument can serve some purposes, like of releasing stored up energy. Mm-hmm. It also can be an intimacy building tool, because at the moment that I'm arguing with you and I'm angry with you, I'm as far away from you as I can possibly be. That's you over there. You have that sucky attitude and bad idea. This is me over here with the right attitude and the best idea, and I'm way far away from you. And if I can argue with you and be that far away from you, that actually is an act of trust. I trust that I can have that level of separation from you and not lose you.
Oh, interesting. Being a married man myself, I know that, an argument per se is an inevitable part of an intimate relationship. So are there ways to effectively argue, to do it in a way that's okay?
Well, interestingly, yesterday on my show, Full Power Living, I interviewed a man, Chunyi Lin, who is a Qigong master. He works with unblocking energy in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And he said an interesting thing. He said, I believe that our basic nature is joyful and happy. And so whenever something comes up for me, if somebody asks me to do something, somebody presents something to me, I first of all say, well, if I do this, am I going to be happy and joyful?
Mm-hmm.
And if he is, then he can go ahead with it. But he has a second question. And if I go ahead and do this, are the people around me going to be joyful and happy? And if the answer to either of those is no, he doesn't do the activity. Well, that's a very interesting place to get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go back to my idea, Rodney, that the earth is a giant school.
Right.
When you get into intimate relationships, such as marriages and partnerships, and especially also with children, these are relationships that the positive part of it is we can't get away from them very easily. And that means that as we're with these other people, they irritate us in ways so that we can see ourselves. And the best way to deal with an argument is when you have an argument, you start looking at what is it that I need to change here? What is it that I could do differently? What is it, how could I do this so that I don't need to argue?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a brief example. About a year and a half ago, I had a disagreement with my husband. And when we stopped talking to one another, I sat down with my arms folded across my chest and going, he just doesn't see me for who I am. He doesn't value me for who I really am. And all of a sudden, I thought, wait a minute, if the world is a mirror then he's showing me that I don't value who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have some fabulous information, and yet I'm not a Les Brown. I'm not a Barbara DeAngelis. I'm not out on PBS the way I think my ideas deserve to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Because I don't respect myself for who I really am. That's what I got from that argument.
Wow.
And so I gave myself permission. I decided I'm going to give myself permission. I'm going to imagine myself being on the stage. I went out and took, I can't begin to tell you, it was not 6 weeks before the caliber of people who I was attracting to my radio program went up. I've had Mariel Hemingway, the actress, for example, and Sylvia Brown, the psychic. I've had a lot of big-name people on my program, my little program that I do from my office.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. So you can, the best way to deal with arguments is to have them take you to a new place. Use them for the learning that they have to offer you.
What about just avoiding arguments? You go into a little bit about how to avoid arguments. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, get more flexible. Be more flexible yourself. Well, you know, first of all, you can become aware of your patterns, especially in a marriage. I'm sure you, Rodney, are aware that there are certain patterns. There are certain things that you can say or that your wife will say or certain times of the day or ways that you approach each other, and you can just say to yourself, uh-oh, now we're going to have an argument. Does that ever happen?
All the time.
All the time. So we know our patterns. I like to think of my life as like a play, and I'm an actor or an actress. And what I've learned is that all I have to do is change my part, and the whole play is different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how might I, if I decide I don't want to argue, the next time one of these times comes up, I could walk up to my partner and hug my partner instead of staying angry.
Mm-hmm.
I could go inside of myself and say, can I let this go? I can stop and say, let me deal with my anger myself over here in another room before I talk with this person.
Mm-hmm.
I can remind myself, what's really important here? Is it more important to argue with this person that I love, or is it more important to be loving?
Absolutely.
I went to a therapist once with my husband who gave wonderful advice. Seymour Boorstein was his name. He said, in interacting with people that you love, always work to say whatever you're going to say in such a way that you know they will love to hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Excellent advice.
And try that.
I will, and I encourage the listeners to do it too, and I will definitely practice that myself, probably today.
Yeah, it's very tough to do, but even thinking about it, you end up being, I mean, after all, we get together with people because we care about them,
mm-hmm.
and if you make that the most, one of the books that I wrote in the early 1990s, I wrote a series of manuals for parents to help their children learn about emotions, and I wrote one on love. And the resource that I went to said, listen, love is love is love. It doesn't really matter if you love somebody else or you love yourself. It matters that you commit yourself to love. Whatever happens, love is more important than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that, making that decision to make love the most important thing in my life has transformed my life significantly.
Eileen, what are some specific things that me and my listeners can do when we feel ourselves starting to get angry? Is there a way to suppress that and to keep it from coming, you know, turning into some acting out kind of behavior? What are some things we can do to check ourselves when we're starting to get angry?
I just want to go on record saying I don't like the word suppress when we're dealing with emotions.
Okay.
But okay, now I'm going to answer your question. You know, first of all, you have to decide. I'm going to I'm going to start running my emotions instead of letting my emotions run me. You have to make that decision, even if you don't know what you're going to be doing, all right? So then, once you've made that decision, then you're going to say to yourself, all right, whenever I notice anger coming up in me, I'm going to do something different. Now, when I decided to do something different, I grew up in a household where people were abused, and that tends to make you abusive to your children, even though I didn't want to. And to change out of that, what I did, even I was still hitting, I was still yelling, but I started hitting and yelling on a pillow or a sofa nearby. That was my first action, just do something slightly different. And eventually it led me to not being explosive or angry or hitting altogether. So the first thing you do is you decide, okay, nothing makes it okay to dump my anger on the people I love. Mm-hmm. Nothing. That's a decision. Mm-hmm. And so what am I going to do instead? I'm going to notice when I'm angry, and I'm going to leave the area when I get angry. Now, I can go into another room. I can go to the back of the house. I can go take a shower. I can do various things. And when I'm there, I can go ahead and let myself be angry. There's a thing called the gross out where I just, you know, I hate you. I'd like to scratch your eyes out. Why are you always doing this to me? As long as you're alone, you can do those kinds of things, and it doesn't hurt anybody. And then once you get that energy out, start looking for what should got violated for me. Well, I thought my dinner should be ready on time. I thought my child should be grateful for what I did. I thought I should have gotten that job. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm really angry about. I just have all this energy that belongs to the anger that I don't know what to do with, and that's why I end up dumping it and having arguments. So instead, mm-hmm. I'm going to say, well, what could I do about this? You know, okay, I should have gotten the job. I didn't. What can I do? I'll either go look for another one. I'll go back and ask the people what it was about me that caused them not to choose me. How could I improve? I can go ask somebody for more help. Whatever, the next step is for me to address the information that anger is bringing to me and to find some way to empower myself. Mm-hmm. And if I keep doing that sort of thing over and over and over, pretty soon I won't be getting angry very much at all. What I'll be doing is empowering myself in my life, and that's what we all need to do.
And let me go back and clean this up just a little bit here. The idea of suppressing, we don't want to suppress our emotions, do we? We want to deal with them, right?
Well, there are three things: repress, suppress, and harbor. Those are the three things that we usually do with anger. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason we don't want to suppress, repress, or harbor is that every emotion that is held inside grows. And as I mentioned before, anger is our most active emotion, and when it's busy growing inside, it's destroying the vessel that it's in, us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want to hold anger inside for any reason, for any length of time, because it's going to destroy our outlook on life. It's going to destroy our self-esteem. It's going to make us physically ill. In fact, if you hold on to it long enough, it can kill you. So that's why we don't want to do that. That's why I bothered to mention about that.
Well, I think it's an excellent point, and I'm glad you corrected me on that. Eileen Dillon, you practice out in San Francisco, out in the Bay Area, and Eileen has written 18 books. She has an internet radio show called Emotional Pro. Is that the name of your show?
No, the name of I actually have three shows now.
Oh, okay. What are they?
The one that I've had since 2004 is Full Power Living, and we interview incredible people, and our focus is on awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the Women's Information Network, the WIN Online, THEWIN Online.com, mm-hmm. I do two other programs with a friend of mine who's a life coach, Dakey Fox, and they are called Building Conscious Families and emotionally speaking. And on Building Conscious Families, we are talking about redefining the job of being a parent to prepare us for the coming new age that is dawning on us, so that we parent our children differently, and we talk about conscious parenting.
There's just
a system that I developed 30 years ago.
Eileen, there's just so much valuable information that you've got. I'm going to encourage all of the listeners to please follow the links that I've put up. Check out Eileen's radio shows, go and look at her books and the things that she has out there on the internet. It's just absolutely wonderful information, and it very much applies for people who are ex-offenders. Eileen, thank you so much for being here on the Journey of Hope.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for listening to me.
We'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. From you. It's Mathers Rodney at yahoo.com, MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's it, my friends. Remember, if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.